Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And, by the way, you can find us on Facebook these days, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and all kinds of stuff. I posted really great stuff. In fact, had the busiest week ever on the Animal World Facebook page this last week. I mean, it blew out the numbers. Unbelievable. And so if you haven't been there and checked it out, and by the way, I posted the cutest good morning post for you guys. Did you see the little
the little
hamster,
maybe a little hamster
yeah.
eating a carrot in bed. It was eating in bed, and it's a little hamster. He's wrapped up in a little blanket, and he's got a little piece of carrot, and he's chewing on it, eating his little carrot in bed. It's just adorable.
It's
yep. So if you haven't been to the Animal World Facebook page this morning, go see the little hamster eating in bed. It's very cute. Let's see. And We are not taking phone calls at the moment. Hopefully we'll have some time in the third hour if you want to call in and talk to our guests, Zach and Haley Abbey. The Ananda Farm caretakers from Kameno Island are here in the studio. And, boy, we've been having a great discussion off air. We've got to remember to do all of that on air because Kathy and I are learning how to do gardens differently here. And And just in case you want to check out the website, it's www.ananda, A-N-A-N-D-A, A-N-A-N-D-A, anandafarms.com. And so you can pull that up now if you want to and take a look and then follow along with us here. But Zach and Haley, we were talking about the different kind of farming you do that I guess we put it, under the umbrella of no-till farming. And it was occurring to me during the break. I mean, it is perfect timing now because so many people haven't started their gardens yet. But it's amazing to see what you guys are producing up there in terms of supporting the CSA and everything. And then you bring, you know, produce to Temple every Sunday. And it's the quality is unbelievable. But you do it without, I mean, how much you said? 14 to 15 acres, and you guys don't even have a tractor. So tilling is not something that's in your vocabulary. And Kathy was asking some questions off the air because when we left, what we got that after the growing season, you don't like pull everything out and do like a compost pile or something. You leave everything where it is. And then you were talking about mulching, which is you cover the ground with kind of sounds like whatever you can come up with. So what's the kind of stuff you use for mulching?
Yeah, we've tried all different types of material for mulch, and you will hear different people say, you know, don't use wood chips. There's too much acidity. They'll tie up all the nitrogen in your soil. And we were discussing that if you put it on top, mulching is something that happens on top of the soil. It's a separate layer from your soil. And the life in your soil likes to have food to eat, and it's when it's mulched, it has food available that it can come up and pull down and use for fuel as it's ready. If you were to till wood chips into your soil, the soil would try to break that down as quickly as possible, and you would tie up all your nitrogen, so your plants wouldn't have access to it because it's all trying to break down the wood chips. So if you get some wood chips, that's one of our favorite mulches. Oftentimes,
really?
Yep, oftentimes, especially in the city, they can be very easy to get. They may come in a giant pile, but that's okay. It's a good thing. But the tree service companies, you can call your local arborist, and they are happy oftentimes to
because they need to play. Otherwise, they have to pay to dump that stuff.
That's right. And those chips are ideal because it's a combination of branches with leaves and needles. It's already a mixture. And we have seen over 3 years of mulching with wood chips that they break down really nicely.
Huh. And well, because, you know, in your mind, you think, and at least normal thinking would say, if you want the soil, because remember, it's dirt when it comes in the house.
Right.
I've been educated now. If you want the soil to have the benefit of all the mulching stuff, that you should mix it in. But you're saying no. So Mike.
What about lime?
It's, you know, we're not very scientific farmers. We're feeling farmers. but lime is something that typically our soils are deficient in. So there's different types of lime. There's kind of a slower release lime and I think a powder that's quicker.
It can also offset or mitigate high concentrations of nitrogen, is my understanding.
I don't know about those things, honestly.
Well, that's what do you use lime at the farm?
I think we did an initial application the first year, but we haven't used it since.
Ah,
and so
okay.
What we really focus on is raising the humus of the soil, which is the water retention and the ability to retain the nutrients that come through. Because so often when we're applying fertilizers, but if our soils are degraded and they don't have the ability to retain these things, it'll just run through and you lose it. And so that's a very common within conventional agriculture, is that each year we're applying new chemicals, new fertilizers, but then there's no humus, there's no structure left in the soil because it's been tilled so many times that it runs through, and the next year you're at the same place. But what we've kind of seen is that by not disturbing the plant roots and by leaving things to break down in place, and then by actually adding more by mulching, we don't lose the nutrients like you would typically. And so it's something that you make an upfront investment to be adding this material, but over time we're seeing that the beds don't degenerate. They don't require additional fertility. They start to reach a point of kind of self-realization in themselves as a happy, healthy soil where it's stable and balanced and can grow things.
So do you manage the pH balance?
We don't pay attention to that either. Yeah, we just, we've taken a really simplistic approach. When we started to get into this, it was, we kind of had to make a choice because there's so much information available that it can be overwhelming to new farmers or new gardeners. Where do I even start? But I think the key for us was to remember nature does this all on her own. And there's a consciousness in the soil and in life that if we just add the material, she knows how to break it down. She knows how to get where we're going. That's not to say we don't use our chickens and our alpacas. They're great fertilizers. And especially on our first year beds that we call them dig-ins. We do a dig-in and start a new bed. We will use the alpaca fertilizer.
Okay, now that's good. So if we've got people listening that want to start, you know, a garden, initially you do a dig-in. So that means you dig up, you know, you're not using a tiller, but you're digging it up. And I was wondering when you said, like, you used lime the first season. Did you dig that in as well?
No, that was just spread. And it was when we were had a larger team, there was, that was not something that we did. I mean, we were totally supportive of it, but there was, you know, other people who, we all have our own specialties, and some people were more, did the soil tests and were looking at the, you know, the chemical composition.
Well, I remember initially, especially when Ananda was looking for farms, you rejected a lot of them because there was a lot of soil testing going on and all that stuff, and then, like, all of a sudden, that didn't matter anymore. We weren't doing that anymore. So you must have figured out.
I think that's when we came.
That's when you guys came. Okay. Because as it stood, the Camino farm, that land, and maybe there were soil tests done before it was purchased, but it wouldn't have passed the test, just like the other ones. But at that point, I guess you guys were enlightened enough to say, "Hey, it doesn't matter.
We can build it.
All right. So let's, for people that are listening, let's say you were talking about a first year bed. So how do you start that?
Well, for example, Mike mentioned he might want to dig up his lawn, and you don't have to dig up your lawn. You can build a garden bed right on top of your lawn.
That got Mike's attention.
Without any digging.
He's back. He grabbed that microphone right away.
My motivating factor is that, much like my face, I don't like to mow my grass or shave.
We can understand
It's all part of the formula. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You say he would not necessarily have to take out that lawn.
Right.
He could
right.
just start building on top of
sure.
it. Is that what he would do?
And this kind of no-till agriculture is particularly applicable to the urban setting and to little gardens where people are managing just a smaller amount of space, because it's really something you kind of do more intensively to start with. And what we would do is sheet mulch it. So cardboard or burlap or newspaper makes a great initial layer, and then cover that up with your next organic material. So the simplest thing that we do is lay down. We have a good access to burlap, but you can use anything that I just said. Lay that down directly over the sod, and then add some. We'll usually add some fertility to get a quick return. So we'll use some alpaca fertilizer.
Alpaca poop.
Yeah, and then we will cover that up with our mulch. And so we use hay from another farm right up the road from us, or the wood chips are our favorite. And then just a few months of that process, you can literally sink your fingers into the soil and just dig down into where the sod was. And you can get inches deep. And it's amazing, because what we experience in our beds is We don't even need garden trowels. Because they've been mulched, there's so much fluffiness and humus to the soil that it becomes something that you just are interacting with your fingers.
Wow.
Versus an exposed and tilled soil. We've been on the farms with that, and you see how quickly that sun and the rain and the elements beat down and compact it and make it really tough to work with.
Wow. Wow. So you layer the mulches rather than digging in. And one concept that I find fascinating that I didn't get, because, you know, in your mind you think, well, you got to mix it in for it to get there. But Haley, somehow you say that the soil actually draws it down. That's why you don't mix in the wood chips. The soil will draw down into it what it needs, huh?
Yeah, when we open up our soils, we'll peel back the mulch and look, and you can see, I mean, there's all kinds of life. There's little critters, you know, of all sizes and tons we can't even see that are constantly moving and working. And, you know, they know where the things are, and, you know, that's the nutrient transfer. That's how the plants are fed, is actually all of these little microorganisms transferring all these things around in the soil. And so we've experienced that. You know, you'll see it, that, you know, the very top layer will get, the wood chips will get a little bleached by the sun, and they look just like wood chips. But underneath, they get darker and darker, and it starts to look more and more like soil. And then the first layers, once you get to the soil, are darker and richer, and I don't know how they do it, but they, you know, Mother Earth knows what to do. That's what she does every fall. She drops all her leaves, lays down all her grasses, and that becomes the soil.
Just amazing, amazing how that works. And so when you say you open up your beds sometime in the spring, does that mean you just spread the mulch kind of away from where things are going to...
Right.
But you leave it there. You don't take it away. And then I would imagine then that extra mulching around keeps the weeds down.
Right. We've seen at a point now where our second and third year beds, we don't have weeds. And it's something that once you experience it, there's no real going back. When you start to have garden beds that don't need to be weeded, you realize, wow, there's really something happening here. There's a stable soil, and it becomes a great experience, and you just want everyone to experience that.
So when we say opening up the beds, we do. We just rake the mulch. We just get a hard rake, and whatever the mulch layer is, hay, straw, wood chips, we'll just rake it off until you can see the soil. All the mulch just gets raked into the paths. All our paths are just swales, which is basically just all different layers of mulch that help to hold the moisture. And then we can either plant directly or just open seed right into the soil.
And then once the plants come up, we have all the mulch that's in the paths, and we can kind of brush that back around
them.
And as we get back into the dry season, it's really good to have that soil all mulched up again. And so we'll get all the mulch back around our broccolis and whatever we're growing so that...
It holds the moisture.
It holds the water.
It helps with the weeds, and it holds the moisture.
Right.
Well, that just... It sounds like a really great way to go. Kathy was jotting down on her pad here, kind of let go ahead.
Well, I just realized sometimes in life we make things so difficult on ourselves by adding more work.
Right.
But by what you're saying... just let nature take its course. And like I said to Mar or to everybody else, let go and let God, you know, let him take care of it, you know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's become kind of a mantra of mine lately, is I let go and I let God now, I trust and allow. It doesn't just apply to your gardens, folks.
Right.
It applies to everything. But it's amazing, like, because Mike started to ask, you know, like a technical question in terms of, you know, chemical makeup and all that kind of stuff. You guys don't bother with any of that. And I loved what you said, that you are feeling farmers, not scientific farmers. You're feeling farmers. And, of course, that comes so naturally when you have a solid, you know, spiritual path the way that you do.
And like you always say, there's so much energy, positive energy that goes into all this.
And it makes such a huge difference. Because I've spoken about it more than once here on the show, in that, you know, I do the majority of my diet is vegetables and fruit. And I would dearly love to participate in the Ananda CSA, but I'm too far away, you know, to be every week to do all of that. But I am fortunate enough to be around them often enough, like going to Temple once a month and at events and so forth, that I get to pick up Ananda produce here and there. And you guys make a prana mix that just blows anybody else's away.
What is a prana mix?
I was just going to say, I was hearing that question in my ear. I think I better ask you guys, can you guys explain what a prana mix is?
Our prana mix, it's our salad mix. And prana means life, life force, energy. And so we just try to make our salad mix as full of life as possible. We use all different types of greens, kale, chard, mustards, and then herbs. Oregano, mint, basil, lemon balm, chives, just, you know, it's a mix. It's whatever, you know, it's representative
whatever
of the
you got
life
goes
that's
into
growing
the...
on the farm. Nasturtium flowers. We have so much fun making this. I mean, we have our little rituals with our prana mix, and it's, it's just a big gathering.
And I'm here to swear by it because I pick up prana mix, you know, every time I go to temple when you have its growing season. And the flavors that come in the prana mix just blows you away. I mean, it's like you really don't need dressing. The flavor is so phenomenal. And then I had never had mint in a salad until I had their prana mix. And it was like, now I have my own mint plants. You know, I have pots in my driveway with mint, so I can have mint all the time. It's really amazing. But the energy and the difference in the quality in the fruits and the vegetables. Because I now, this last year, I did a local CSA in my area, and so I knew what I was getting and what, you know, like the beets looked like and all of that when I picked up mine. And then I'd go to Temple on Sunday and see what Haley and Zach bring from the farm, and it's like, there's no comparison. I mean, they had, you know, Jagmongo beets that, I mean, look like cantaloupes. They're so huge. I mean, they're huge. And the colors and the peppers but the size of everything and it just has a glow to it and so much more flavor and the energy that there's something to be said for this the farming that you're doing and the energy that you put into all of this. It's really dynamic.
I bet this is a real soul enriching experience for you. Real growth.
You said soul, not soil?
Good one, Martha. No, really. Doesn't it just fill your heart when you're doing this?
It does.
We're really blessed to have the opportunity to do it and have a community that supports us and really get to try to give it to God. And
yeah, I love that.
All right, so we're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors before we get too much off the schedule. And then we will continue with our discussion here. And I want to find out next, I think, what are all of the things that you are growing? And because you have covered a lot of territory and you keep adding stuff. So we will continue more with our Ananda Farm discussion, Zach and Haley in the house. And remember, this is the most important part of the show because without our advertisers, there is no show. So please listen, pay attention, support them, thank them, stay right where you are because Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And hey, did you know that even if you're feeding the highest quality all-natural food to your animal friends, even if you're home cooking, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. So it comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food. Add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to stir it in, and voila! You've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems with dogs, eliminates hairball problems with cats, And there's a missing link formula for just about anything in an animal suit. There's three formulas for dogs, one that focuses on skin and coat, the other on hip and joint, and then there's the new senior formula with the New Zealand green muscle. There is a cat formula. There's a wellness blend that's vegetarian. You can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters as well. There is a bird formula. There's a poultry formula and a horse formula. So ask for Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Three ways to listen. On the AM dial at 1150, on the FM HD dial at 98.9 HD3, or online at 1150kknw.com. One great station. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Talked about Missing Link during the break here, and we will be giving it away probably in the next hour sometime. We'll let you know when it's time to call in for your chance to win some Missing Link. And you heard about our great bioenergetic synchronization technique, Dr. Nels Rasmussen, practitioner. Boy, he's working miracles with animals, and you got to check him out at www.nelshealingministry.com. Click on the testimonials and look at those videos of the dachshunds and the corgis paralyzed from the waist down. No drugs, no surgery. And after 4 to 7 treatments with Dr. Nels, they're walking again. It's amazing. He is working miracles. So check it out, www.nelshealingministry.com. And check out our harmonic energy shifters, acutonic specialists, Jude and Paul Ponton at WhisperingDragon.com. Their website is Whispering-Dragon.com. You can also find them on Facebook, and all kinds of great stuff available through their website and, of course, from them in person at the Whispering Dragon Center in Seattle. It's in the Greenwood area, and they, of course, work remotely as well. And sign up for their newsletter. They just had one come out. It's really great. So Whispering-Dragon.com. com. All right, we are talking feeling farming. Because we got Zach and Haley Abbey here. They are the caretakers of the Nanda Farms on Kanano Island. And, what was it? We were talking, I was going to talk about everything that they're growing out there, but something else we were going to talk about. What was that, Kathy?
I believe we were talking about permaculture and a little bit more information on that.
Yeah, but there was something
we just mentioned it.
See, that's why we shouldn't talk about this
senior
stuff.
Senior moments.
Yeah,
you know?
During the break. Because I said, I want to ask about that. And, I'm sure it'll roll around again.
It will. It'll come back.
So we've got everybody, we know now that you do the no-till farming. Oh, the drought stuff.
That's what it was. Because
last year was... we weren't California, but we really had a very, very dry summer. And, of course, we know no snow in the mountains and all of that. And I constantly wondered if that was an issue for you guys out at the Ananda Farm. Now, I know you already talked about how you till or how you don't till and you mulch and all of that. And you're always looking to have moisture preserving mulch and so forth, but how did that work for you? How did you get through the dry summer?
Well, we definitely had our moments last year, just like all the farmers, of realizing it's not going to rain. So I think somebody told me, Haley's mom told me the other day that it was in fact the biggest drought on record in Western Washington.
Wow.
The driest year. That's what it was. And then the second one was last year, the year before. So we can see that this trend is real and going to be something that we need to all kind of start thinking about and how we can help remedy that. But as far as how we dealt with it, our ideal is that we don't necessarily need to irrigate things because we're able to, the water is retained in the soil. We reached a point last year where we did start laying drip tape, and as a production farm, we need the water to really keep our crops going. So I would say probably July or August, we started laying drip tape in the beds, which is a pretty efficient way to drip by each vegetable and give them what they need.
Yeah, what I did checking into last summer, is I had a strip of area that I was concerned about, the shrubs there, and put in a drip line. That seems to be the most water-conserving, best way to water. So obviously you agree with that.
For the short term, it's worked out well for us, and I'm sure this year we'll again do it when it gets into the dry season. But what we did notice, I would again emphasize, is that even if we would irrigate a little bit, it's not the same as having to irrigate all the time. And just a little bit of water in our soil, it was amazing how it could be then retained for weeks at a time, and so we wouldn't have to water like a regular farm does. It would be like, get some water on there and then get it mulched and we're good. So
excellent. All right, so let's just go over a little bit about everything that you do grow now up there. We know that when the first farm was purchased, they had the lavender fields. When the 6 months later, when the second adjacent property got added, they weren't growing anything there except, you know, there were more fields for animals and so forth, and that's kind of the animal half of at least the alpacas are over there. And I don't know, I don't think you're growing much over on the other farm, are you, or are you now?
So our second piece is actually warmer. It's just happens to have more sun exposure in certain areas, and so it's actually hotter there. It's a little bit higher. So the last 2 years, we actually have grown all of our tomatoes on, there's a big greenhouse there, a hoop house, that we've grown in, and then just this year, this winter, we've been, we can't help ourselves. We have to make new beds all the time. So we've been, we call it the pasture garden. So one of the paddocks has started to get garden beds built in it.
Oh, all right.
We will be growing more and more over there.
So you are expanding there.
And then we also did a big tree planting. Last spring was not the best year to plant hundreds of trees, but we did
that. Oh, yeah, because you're supposed to keep them really well watered for the first couple of years, huh?
Yeah.
So how did that work?
We'll see.
It was a good learning experience.
We have some survivors for sure, but
we actually planted a lot in the fall and have continued to plant through the winter. So all the roots are getting set right now.
So what kind of trees have you been planting?
All types of trees. You could actually talk about that.
All types of trees. We really love fruit trees. And so we, in the spring and March, we will start up our grafting again, which is basically the way to create a fruit tree is you graft it onto another tree. So we have our rootstocks, and then we choose the variety that we want. And so right now we're
okay, so you don't like go buy a peach tree and stick it in, or an apple tree and stick it in the ground. We'll
basically create them ourselves, make them ourselves at the farm.
So I've never actually watched anybody do a grafting, but I've had grafted trees. Mm-hmm. And isn't that you start with like a basic tree that is real hardy.
Right.
And I think that isn't that the reason for doing a grafting, that you've got the hardy base and then somehow you connect another tree to that tree.
That was how it started. More recently, you've seen a lot of the trend with fruit trees go towards smaller trees. So they might not necessarily be as hardy, but they're dwarfs. And so that you don't need ladders to work them and they stay at a smaller size.
Yeah, so like a standard size apple tree can be like 40 feet tall. Most people don't want a 40-foot apple tree in their backyard. So you graft it onto a rootstock, and so largely the rootstocks, and there's different types for depending on what your soil is, but they help determine the size that your tree will be. So that's how you pick out a rootstock, is how big do you want your tree to be? What are your soil conditions like? Okay, this is the rootstock we're going to use. And then like Zach was saying, you get your variety that you want, because like an apple seed won't be true. You know, if you have a Gravenstein apple and you plant the seed, you're not necessarily going to get the same type of apple from that seed.
You won't get the same type. You'll get anything you could come back.
Like if you plant a red delicious apple seed, you're not necessarily going to get a red delicious apple tree.
It could be anything.
Really?
Which is also infinite room for expansion and exploration and planting the seeds.
The Red Delicious actually grew from a seed, so you can get amazing varieties from a seed.
But often you can get crab apples or apples that aren't very palatable.
Huh.
So the common practice then is to find the varieties that you really feel strongly about, you enjoy, and create more of those, which all come from just that one original seed that grew into a tree. And then
you take pieces off of the tree that you know is producing that kind of apple, and you graft them on to your, what did you call it, your rootstock. And then you know that you're going to get that kind of apple.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And do you ever try to incorporate the concept of espalier with your fruit?
We did initially planted some with the idea that we would try that.
And that's where you kind of flatten them out against a wall, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. It's if you need to fit them in a smaller space.
Yeah, it's great for like an urban environment if you have less space. But we don't really have that, so we don't tend to use that technique.
We found that for both of us personally, it's not as natural to prune them in that way, that we prefer the natural growth and trying to get them with strong centers and moving out from the center upwards and out and letting them be expansive in their growth. So we don't do it ourselves, but we have friends who do and have great luck with it. And there's definitely a relationship to be had there.
Okay, so let's go back here to the beginning. We started with the first farm, and we have a lavender garden, and then it's grown from there. So what all are you growing these days?
So we grow kind of all your classic annual vegetables from beets and carrots, broccoli, all types of greens, onions, leeks, garlic, all those types of things. And then a lot of culinary herbs, thyme, rosemary, oregano, marjoram, just trying to get a good mix of herbs established.
And you mentioned earlier, Haley, that you want herbs in all of your beds for some reason. I don't remember what that was.
Yeah, herbs are, you know, humans have had relationships with herbs as far back as we have known. And they're just wonderful plants for, you know, they're so nutritious. The concentration of the nutrition in an oregano plant compared to a head of lettuce, there's no comparison. So they're good for us, but we tend to think that, okay, if something's good for us, it's good for the soil. If something is good for the soil in this way, it's probably good for us in that way. So it's just a healthy balance. And we like to let our herbs, we'll harvest them, and then we'll also let them complete their cycle and flower. And typically any herb has a flower that is long-lasting and has different types of insects that it will attract. Uh-huh. And so we're creating habitat in that way. and keeping a balance in our gardens. If you have, you know, just a whole field of one crop, it can be really susceptible to some sort of pest, you could say, coming in and taking over without that natural balance. If we can create a lot of biodiversity in our gardens and have that balance, then there we're going to host different insects and different plants, and there's going to be a natural balance that you would see in nature happening in our gardens.
Wonderful. Okay, so you grow all the normal kind of vegetables. What else? And herbs.
And then, you know, our biggest room for expansion right now is the fruit. And so we love plums and Asian pears, European pears, apples.
Strawberries. We have lots of berries.
So it's, you know, it is a permaculture farm in the sense that we're trying to cover all of our basic needs. We're trying to grow everything that we want to consume, and we want our people and our family and friends to have. And so there's really no limit to it. I think everything from tea plants to tooth powder, we're trying to be able to...
We don't grow tooth powder, but we do.
I was going to say, what is tooth powder?
But we also grow herbs for medicine. I do a lot of medicine making at the farm with different herbs. So we have plants like comfrey and calendula and lavender that are all wonderful plants for your skin, very healing. So we make a farm salve that is a combination of those plants. We do create all of our own basic needs. That was kind of part of our mission in starting the farm, was to provide for our basic needs. And so we make deodorant, soap, tooth powder, skincare products.
Right. Yeah, I do want to talk about all of that. I think this is a good time to take care of advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And then let's come back and talk about all the stuff, all the things that you're making and the products that you're starting to mention. Because I think we've covered the bases. We know you're doing all the vegetables. And, of course, potatoes come in there, too.
Yes.
And all the herbs and all the fruit trees. And then we've got the bees for the honey. And the chickens, and only one duck, huh? Do you get duck eggs from the one duck? Or
he's a boy.
It's a male duck.
Oh, okay, male duck. Okay, and the alpacas. I think that kind of covers all the bases. So let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We'll be back with Zach and Haley from the Ananda Farm on Camino, and we'll talk about all the different products that are being created with all this wonderful stuff. And then we're going to get into the CSA and that, and then the farm dinners. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking, why they do certain things, or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, PARISO.com. Or call 425-280-5132. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, "There's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World already, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You heard about our great animal communicator, intuitive medium Reiki master, Darcy Pariso, and you can check her out at www.darcypariso.com. That's Paris with an O. And listen up in current events, because she's got some stuff coming up that you're going to want to know about, and I'll tell you about that in current events. All right, Zach and Haley Abbey, the caretakers of the Ananda Farm in Camino Island, are here in the studio. We're learning all about farming, and we just talked about, Zach and Haley, all the products you guys are making. And then, of course, we go taking a little break, and Haley whips out a little bottle here of lavender healing mist. And, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. I mean, it's the best lavender smell I've smelled in a long time. And Kathy's putting it
so
on her skin.
Soft.
Did you put it on your skin?
I put it on the back of my hand.
Ooh. Ooh, that's really nice. And it because it's
a
lavender.
It's got some oil in it.
Well, let's see. The label says lavender healing mist, hydrosol with essential oil, organically grown and steam distilled. Spray on burns and wounds. But, oh, that's so, okay, my first question, what hydrosol with essential oils, what the heck does that mean?
So hydrosol is the product you get when you distill. So distillation is the process that is used to extract essential oils. So we have a still, and it's a big copper, basically a big copper, I don't even know what to say, a big bowl-looking, pot-looking thing. And we put water in the bottom of it. And then all of our plant material are lavender, and then it's got a funny little hat shape and a tube that comes down and has a coil that goes that helps the steam to condense. Anyway.
And that I saw that last summer, didn't
okay.
I?
Yes, you
one
did.
Of the events up at the farm, and there'll be more of those kind of come visit the farm events, I think, this year. We'll get to that in the next hour. But it kind of reminded me, it's like the suit that the Tin Man wore in Wizard of Oz, only there's no person inside of it. And when you had a visit the farm event, we were up there, you had us all cutting up lavender mm-hmm. from the farm to do that. And so that's what we were doing the makings for this hydrosol with essential oil. Is that what it is?
Yep, that's right. So once the steam passes through the plant, it comes down and condenses, and then it drips out at the end, and we capture it in a jar. And so hydrosol is technically the condensed steam from the distillation process that's passed through the plant material. The hydrosol is carrying the essential oil. You'll see the oil just floats to a little layer on the top, and that's what you're holding in your hand is that hydrosol with some of the oil still in it.
Wow. It's quite lovely, and you can feel it on your skin.
And it's
afterwards,
wonderful.
It's like
it's
better than a lotion almost.
It's yeah, it's great for your skin, and it's a wonderful burn remedy. We think of lavender and it just smells nice, or we think of old ladies or something, but it has wonderful healing properties. So we keep one of those in our refrigerator in our kitchen. And if you burn yourself on the stove or on the oven, even if you have a blister forming, if you keep spraying that on there, it will take it right
away. Really? Because I've always thought with burning, I'd always go for the aloe vera plant. But
that's a great
remedy lavender
too.
Works as well?
Very well.
I didn't know that.
I think I'd rather use the lavender.
Yeah.
It smells so wonderful. It's
it
calming.
Does. It does.
So that might help too when you're going,
yes, that's true.
That's a pretty label, because lavender
beautiful.
And pink label here for the Ananda Farm. So, okay, so obviously you're doing some hydrosols with essential oils with the lavender. Do you any other kind of hydrosols that you're or with essential oil type things you're doing?
Yeah, we've experimented distilling different things. We have distilled some peppermint And that's a really nice cooling spray in the summer. And
oh, yeah.
We also did some, last early spring, we did some cedar and fir distillations. And we've used that primarily as like a household cleaner. We'll mix the hydrosol with a little bit of vinegar, and it's a wonderful disinfectant. So we like to use that on all our surfaces in the house. Same with a lavender as well.
Okay, so give us again a rundown on all the different kind of products that you're creating.
So if you think of your basic needs, we've pretty much replaced all of the things we used to have to go and buy for our kind of self-care thing. So tooth powder, that's...
Would take the place of toothpaste.
Take the place of toothpaste, yep. It's baking soda and salt-based with some herbs in it as well. And deodorant. We make our own powder deodorant, bar soap, skin salve, facial toner.
I know I use the lip balm all the time.
The lip balm, yep.
Yeah.
And we have started to do some tinctures. We do like a blue elderberry tincture, which is a good immune system booster.
Yeah.
And on a smaller scale, just for our home cabinet, we hope to do more. We've done willow tincture, which is a pain reliever. So we don't have to do ibuprofen or aspirin. We just use our willow tincture.
Wow.
How do you use that? Do you apply it to your temples?
Just a couple drops of tincture underneath your tongue. It goes right in your bloodstream. It's amazing.
Wow.
It works immediately.
Wow. Now, do you sell this online? Or do we need...
Yeah, that was my question. All of these products that you're making, how can... Because you're making them not just for you guys. You're making them for the public.
That's right.
So how can we get them?
Well, we are looking into online sales. We've not gotten there yet, but hope to soon. But in the meantime, we have a few retail locations. In Seattle, we have our products at East West Bookshop. We have them at the Ananda Temple in Bothell.
There's a little boutique in the Ananda Temple at Bothell, they're always there in East West. Any place else?
On Camano Island, there's the Camano Island Coffee Roasters. There's a little shop in that complex at Terry's Corner called The Marketplace.
Uh-huh.
And we have them in there. And then also there's a shop in Stanwood, downtown Stanwood, called Gather Market, and we have our products there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because there's quite an array. It seems like we've missed something because they're just... It's an array of things. Again, that's what even more amazes me about you all, because you're not only you're running the farm and you're doing all this incredible no-till farming, which has got to take a lot of time, and you've got all the animals to care for and so forth. And then at the same time, you're creating and making all of these incredible products. I mean, do you guys sleep? I mean, I wonder how do you. It's amazing to me that
you can just be really productive.
I guess so.
It leads to a happy life, right?
Right.
Keep
very
our hands fulfilled. Busy. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Then I think what we're going to do right at the moment is take a brief time out so we can cover current events. And then that'll probably take us through the rest of this hour. Then we're going to fire up the third hour and find out about we got to find out all the details about the CSA and how that works and how you can participate and that sort of thing. And then, of course, this farm gathering I was talking about, and then the farm dinners. So we got a lot more to talk about. And we may even have time for a phone call or two towards the end of the show. So let's give current events a roll. Alrighty, we got entertainment and education on the current events list, and thanks for the jingle cats and our wonderful music. As promised, Darcy Pariso, our own Animal World, Animal Intuitive, Medium and Reiki Master, her upcoming events and classes. Remember, she's now ongoing at Intraspace Intuitive Fair, which is the first Saturday every other month from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's in the Intraspace location, which is directly behind Tully's there on Airport Way South. And so the next time she'll be there is March 5th, then she'll be May 7th, July 2nd, and on from there. She's also now doing her Animal Communication 101 classes. First one will be Saturday, January 30th, 1 to 4 p.m. at Stargazers in Bellevue. Then she will be Saturday, February 13th, 1 to 4 p.m. at Vision Quest Bookstore and Wellness Center in Everett. And then Sunday, March 20th, can't go to that one because Zach and Haley are getting married that day. Got to be there for that. But March 20th, 1 to 4 p.m., A Path to Avalon in Arlington. All right, and Jude and Paul Ponton, Whispering Dragon Center, have an Acutonics Level 1 class, Sound Gates to Meridian Harmonics, from January 23rd to 25th. Pre-registration's required, so check it out at whispering-dragon.com. Let's see, new event coming up at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett. This is their White Birds of Winter presentation. This is a phenomenal presentation. If our own animal world biologist Martha Jordan presents, she is the expert on swans and snow geese. The presentation is put together for kids to middle school kids up to adults. Learn about the swans and snow geese. A wonderful talk and presentation and beautiful slideshow. $5 if you're a member of Stream Keepers, $7 if you're not, but you need to call for a reservation, 425-316-8592. Positive Futures, the annual benefit for and fundraiser for Positive Alliance, is March 19th this year, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Swedish Club. Early bird discount tickets are now available through February 19th, and that includes dinner, drinks, fun, auction bidding. So check it out, www.positivealliance.org. All right, remember, winter's here, if you've forgotten, and that means the pigs at Pigs Peace Sanctuary. This is up in your neighborhood, you guys. Stanwood, you probably know about the Pigs Peace Sanctuary. Well, they need extra funding during the winter to keep the pigs' beds in good shape because they bed them in hay. And go figure, the pigs eat their beds. You know, there's just no telling with these pigs. So they eat their beds, so they need a constant resupply of nice, fresh bedding hay. So you can donate, go online to www.pigspeace.org or on Facebook, and you can send a check to Pigs Peace Sanctuary, P.O. Box 295, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. All right, last day today, remember, is the Chubby Cats for Petite Prices at the Seattle Humane, and $1 per pound off discount on all adult cats, and they're open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, www.seattlehumane.org. Mark your calendars for the 11th annual Fine Wines and Felines Auction Fundraiser for Meow will be Saturday, June 18th this year. And seems to me we've got Perfect Pals. Where is that on my current events list? Because they've got their Average Joe Cat Show coming up pretty soon. And I know it's here. Where are you? Well, I can't see. I don't see it right now. But check it out at MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on Current Events and then scroll down and you will find the, here we go. It is the Average Joe Cat Show will be May 7th this year at the Spartan Recreation Center in Shoreline. So that pretty much covers all the current events. Again, you can get more details and other events on MarthaNorwalk.com by clicking on Current Events. And, boy, that wraps us right up in hour number two. So we're going to turn this hour around, fire up hour number three, and, boy, then we get to start talking about the CSA and how all of that works and the farm dinners and events and all that good stuff. And then maybe we'll open the phone lines. We'll see how much time we have. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.